Welcome to Definition Tanya Definitions. We're up to Oyse Bays, and we're in the middle of Bittul. Bittul translates as nullification, but a better translation is transparency or surrender. And we spoke how Bittul is not like laser. You called it the holy schmutter. What do you call it? The heilige schmutter. Yeah, but I just.
Heilige Schmatter, it's Rav Simeon Silberberg.
Yeah, so I don't want to take away from Shmuel who I to say anything about 12 Shmuel Zilberg, but that idea of shmata is like that. That's what I kind of that's the reason why I don't use the word bittul is because of that word shmata. Because to me, bittul is hugely empowering. It basically means that I'm not here for me, I'm here for him, Yisburach. So everything becomes much more important, much more like. There's much more riding on everything, so it's not like we said. Like, who am I who am I to not do X? Who am I to not, stand up for what is right? That's bittul. Bittul just means I'm not in it for me. I'm in it for him. So to say schmutter, it's like I know what I understand what he's talking about, but just I think in the world that I'm in, when I hear these burnt out Chabadskas, when they hear the word bittul, they just start to cringe and shake. Yeah, that's what I want to try and kind of delete is that feeling that bittul is like a schmutter thing when it isn't. It's a deeply empowering. A deeply empowering internal experience or mindset, deeply empowering paradigm. Okay, so I want to discuss three things, or two things, which are five things. So first, I want to discuss what it means, the difference between bittul yesh and bittul b'metzius. See, there's different ways, it's in different contexts. To understand this, I'm going to explain it in a certain context that wouldn't be shy to all contexts. Maybe, but in my opinion, it's the most helpful way of understanding it. So, bittul yesh and bittul metzius, you can understand it by Paro's two paradigm statements: Ayo'oli va'ani asisisoni. The Nile belongs to me, and I made myself. And as we said before, if you look at the Esam Makos, you'll see that Hashem was dismantling that klipa. Paro said, "The Nile belongs to me," and Hashem said, "Oh yeah." So he made the Nile blood. And he caused the Egyptians to buy the water off of the Yidden. So he was saying, Paro, the Nile does not belong to you. That's the idea of ownership. Excuse me. That's you! That's the concept of bittul yesh. In our context. Bittul yesh is the relinquishing of ownership. That means, I mean, obviously, that means that my car is there to serve Hashem, my house is there to serve Hashem, my money is there to serve Hashem. It also means my emotions are there to serve Hashem, my personality is there to serve Hashem, my intellect is there to serve Hashem. That's all dine bialis. That's all still the idea of ownership. It's not that you are an intellect; you have an intellect. You, in a sense, own your intellect. You have an intellect. Yeah, you have emotions. You have a personality. Bittul yesh is giving up all the haves. Everything that I have belongs to him. You can call that bittul yesh. That's a very high level. When you walk around your house feeling that this isn't your house, this belongs to Hashem, that's a very high level. That takes a lot of thinking to get there. That's Betelgeuse. So what's Betelgebirgis? Well, the opposite of Betelgebirgis is thinking that you made yourself. Now, don't get me wrong, there is an idiom of Betelgebirgis, probably the most obvious. The obvious idea of Betelgebirgis means that you actually completely disappear from reality. You're not there. But we're talking about a more practical understanding, a more practical level. So the opposite of Betelgebirgis would be the statement, I made myself. Which is, by the way, the conceptually, that is what every atheist is saying. By saying, I don't know where we came from, or we just came from chance, or however it is, we came from monkeys. Yeah, they're basically saying, conceptually, I made myself. Meaning, there is no one to answer to. My, that's not a, this isn't a din on all the things that I have belong to me. It's the me belongs to me. That's the opposite of Betelgeuse. Betelgebirgis. Betelgeuse is, I relinquish my ownership of everything that I have, from my intellect to my car. Everything. That's ultimate Betelgeuse, means everything that I have is yours. Betelgebirgis is the being that haves is yours. Do you get that? For me to say I have a car, well, there has to be an I that has the car. So let's say I let go of my car, I let go of my emotions, I let go of my intellect, all of it I give back to Hashem, there's still me. Betelgebirgis is when the very essence of who I am merges back with Rabbeinu Shlomo. Meaning that you couldn't own anything. If you were Betelgebirgis, you couldn't have any bits, you couldn't have any yesh. You couldn't be in possession of anything because there's no one to be possessing anything. Betelgebirgis is Ish Anav Ma'od, Ashchina Medaberes. Meaning that Moshe and Hashem was he was speaking in first person. Moshe was speaking from Hashem's perspective in first person. Betelgebirgis is when you can't say that part of you that owns stuff, because it's not a part of you that owns stuff. It's the you that owns stuff.
Is the Betelgebirgis a higher level?
Yeah, sure.
And there's, wow, okay.
Betelgeuse, let's say it in a different way, yeah? Betelgeuse is, I don't own anything. All my possessions belong to God. Betelgeuse is that part, that entity that just said, I don't own anything. That entity isn't me, or isn't, I can't think of a way of saying it. It's awkward to say it. That
You
entity.
also don't. Oh, sorry.
That ent Let's start again. There's the entity that owns your car. Yeah, when I say car, I mean everything that you have, including your personality and your emotions, etc. Yeah. So there's you. The statement, "I own my car," is a very sensible statement. Yeah. Very sensible statement. I own my car. Now I can say I relinquish the ownership of my car and I make my car Hefka. Everyone can come and take my car. Anyone who wants to take my car can take my car. So for all intents and purposes, it's not my car. But what happened to the I that 5 minutes ago owned my car? Still there. It's just not in possession of anything. But that I is still there. It's
So what?
that's given up
So
its woman see us.
why isn't it as simply as
All of my possessions belong to Hashem,
That's
Bitul Yesh.
Bitul Yesh.
And then I belong to Hashem.
You could does that work? I don't see why it doesn't work, but I feel that it doesn't work.
All my possessions belong to Hashem, including.
Including me.
Yeah, so you muted yourself.
The
All my possessions.
that statement, all my possessions belong to Hashem,
Yesh.
and Bitul Yesh. When that part, not that part, when the essence of me, which is the thing that owns stuff, the entity that owns, when that sense of I is merged with reality, that's called Bitul Metzius. So there isn't even the thought of ownership. Ownership is impossible in that state. I mean, you might be able to go through the, you'd live the halacha, you would buy things and sell things, etc. But it's not that they're things that you own and then they're things that you give up, because there's no you that's owning and that's giving up. You're like, I mean, it's like being a cell in a body, being conscious. The point is that cells are not conscious, yeah, to the best of our knowledge. Yeah, that a cell isn't conscious. So it's just in context, it has no sense of self, let alone any kind of possessions. But it doesn't have a sense of self. It exists in the fabric of your body as another cell, a part of your body. So its sense of self is bound up in your sense of self. So to say I'm giving myself, what did you say, Michael? What was it that you said?
Everything I have belongs to Hashem, or all my possessions belong to Hashem, and I belong to Hashem.
See, this is the thing, that I belonging to Hashem means that you have become godly. You can't really make the statement.
It's just the aspect of ownership, of self, of entity.
Meaning that you've stopped being an entity. You're not an entity anymore. That's Bitul Metzius. You might have a body.
Is this different than a slave and master relationship? Meaning of a sl of a sl
Well, that is the it's really the difference in a Eved Nirtzer and a Eved Ivri. Like when he puts, when they stick the thing to his ear because he doesn't want to go free. Yeah, that's the Indian of the Eved who's all sense of self. But regularly in Eved, he loses, he's that's Bitul Yesh. That's Bitul Yesh. All his possessions belong to his Rav, and he is serving his Rav, but it's him serving his Rav. There's still a him. Bitul Metzius is where you as a separate entity, even though you have a goof, but you as a separate conscious, what's the word, sentient energy, has vanished. It's Bitul Metzius. It's become merged back with infinite consciousness, with reality itself, with truth, with oneness, whatever you want to call it.
How is that achieved during a person's lifetime? I
I
mean, once they pass away, you can understand that they can reconnect with Hashem.
I'm not even sure if it's true after that. You have to pass away. I have no idea. This is all theoretical. I'm working on Bitul Yesh. But I'll tell you. I mean, I'll tell you. I think maybe I just said the answer, actually, is that it's the same answer as another question. Like, how do you get to Ava Rabba Batanugim? Ava Rabba is the highest level of love. It's the love of Tzilus. Blazer, you listening? You here?
He's playing at Snookle games. Let's
Playing
see.
snake. Snooker.
He went to go.
Do
He's going to all the countries today.
you know what snooker is, you'd see? Have you ever seen the snooker
He
table?
said it's like billiards.
It was like a 12 foot by 6 foot table. It's huge. It's very difficult. Anyway, laser, you're holding in the avas, the different avas in Tanya, yeah? You have Ava, Rabba, Batanugim. So let's just speak. We'll talk Pasha, yeah? We've got an Ava Tevi, yeah? The natural love. That's the world of Yetzirah, okay? Michael, you remember these terms? So you've got a natural love, which is the world of Yetzirah. Then we have the intelligent love, which is the world of Bria. Okay, brings the mitzvahs up to the world of Bria, whichever that means. It raises the mitzvah. Well, this is what we're talking about now. And then you have Ava Rabba Tanugim, which takes the mitzvahs into the realm of Atzilus. So it's a really big arichas, but just to try and say really pasha, is that a mitzvah done on the level of Atzilus is like what we're talking about here. A mitzvah done on the level of Atzilus means that the Ribbono Shel Olam is doing his mitzvah himself through you. There is no servant master. There is no subject king. There's just the Ribbono Shel Olam and £150 of flesh. Is that pound? I don't know what pounds is. That's about, that's like an average human size, whatever, give or take. £180.
Yeah, more of that, more better.
180 pound. I'm like in kilos, so 80 kilo of flesh. Yeah, that's mitzvahs done on the level of Atzilus. That's called Markova. That's the inyan of the Avos, of Moshe, etc. So how'd you do that? That's Hashem doing the mitzvah for you. How do you do that? How'd you get there? So it's like this, the way I've understood it, is that first things first is you have to know that you have a very natural love for the Ribbono Shel Olam. Now, what does it mean that you have a love for someone, that you're doing a mitzvah out of love for someone? Let's say, what's the difference between buying your wife flowers 2 days after you're married to buying your wife flowers 60 years after you're married, if you've had a good marriage? What's the difference? She's still your wife, there's still flowers, you still pay money, you still got in your car when it bought them. What's the difference?
I mean, one is unexpected, that's for sure.
Which one, the first one or the last one?
No, the last one is unexpected. It's typical to bring it in the beginning.
Okay, that's logistical. I hear that. But what's the mice of the difference conceptually? What's the motivation? What's the difference in the motivation between the 20-year-old buying his wife flowers and the 80-year-old buying his wife flowers?
20-year-old's doing it for him more for there's himself included.
Well, the 20-year-old is buying his wife flowers. By the time you're 80, if you've been married for 60 years, now I don't know this. I've heard Rav speak about this, and after I've been married 20, the couple of months come up to 21 years, and I'm starting to have maybe the beginnings of the beginnings of the beginnings of a taste of what he's talking about. Yeah, enough that I can kind of a little bit, teeny bit relate to what. How he says it, yeah, but I'm more speaking from what he's saying is that after many years of marriage, a real Jewish marriage, you merge with each other, you completely merge with each other. There's no real sense even of us in a sense. It's gone beyond the sense of us, it's become a kind of I. But an inclusive eye. So when you're buying flowers for your wife, 2 days after you're married, that's a lovely gesture. It's very nice, etc. And you're buying your wife flowers. You are motivating yourself to buy her flowers. I'm not saying that you're trying to, get something out of her. You want to buy her flowers, but your motive, it's you motivating yourself. Maybe you want to make her feel nice. Yeah. That's very nice. It's not like you want to, you're trying to get something out of her. So that's after a couple of days of marriage. After 60 years of marriage, if your wife wants the flowers, it's your wife expressing herself through your goof. It's your wife getting in your car, turning the key, or whatever you do nowadays. Yeah, driving to the shop. It's your wife putting her hand in your pocket, taking out your wallet, giving the guy money, looking at the flowers, going, "Oh, they're nice. I have them." Getting back in the car. It's your wife driving home, and it's your wife giving herself flowers. You get the idea? That's tzilus. That's mitzvahs done on the level of tzilus. Meaning that your wife, after 60 years of marriage, your wife wants flowers. It's not you buying flowers. You become complete. You're void. You're non-existent in the equation. It's your wife's desire for flowers. That's the highest level of love. That's the love of tzilus, where you are. It's not even your love. It's her. It's your wife flowing through your body, energizing your body, motivating your body, motivating your actions. You with me? That's the highest level of love. So now, how do you get from the 20-year-old to the 80-year-old version? And that is called marriage. That's the process of marriage. Being with her, yeah, being mevatel yourself to her because it's the right thing to do, biting your lip, yeah, and then saying the wrong thing and then making up with her. And then, all the things that you go through in your marriage, if you're dedicated to your marriage. I'm talking about some kind of narcissistic, I'm talking about a good guy who's really in the marriage and he wants to make it work and he wants to be a good husband and he wants his wife to have a good husband, etc., etc. The avoider of marriage will take you to that matzav after your diamond anniversary, where she's buying the flowers through your body. She is the energy that's pulsating through your goof. And that's the avoid of Yiddishkeit, the exact same thing. Is we're in it right now, we're young men, we're in it for whatever reasons we're in it for. And hopefully they're good reasons, just like that guy buying his wife flowers after their marriage, just after they're just married. It's still for good reasons. But by buying her the flowers that time and then going through, like that's it, by doing the mitzvahs and thinking about the mitzvahs and thinking about the bnei shalom and talking it through and discussing it and getting the ideas clear and writing it down and listening to it again and again and discussing it again and going through it again and learning more and taking it really seriously, he, Yisburach, just becomes more and more and more real to you. That's it, just like in marriage. If you're engaged in the marriage, your wife will become more and more and more real to you. And you'll start having rahmanas on her. You know why it's so difficult to have rahmanas on our wives when they, want to buy the funny things they want to buy or do the funny things they want to do? Is because, well, they're not you. And you don't want to spend $20,000 on a necklace. So she's obviously mad. Yeah, and she needs to work it out. She's got bayot. She's got problems. Yeah, so look, I'll bite my lip. Maybe, probably I won't. Yeah, but when you've become one with her, that stops being an issue. Meaning, you can't relate to her tither because it's not your tither. Just like she can't relate to your tither because it's not her tither. But once you dissolve, and she is real, then you will actually. I don't know if you'll be able to relate to her tither, but at least you'll be able to tolerate her tither. Or, it might be that the right thing to do is to not give in to her. But the reason why it's so difficult for us in marriage is because our wife is a completely different person to us. So how can I relate to her time? It's like I've always said this as a father and as a husband, is, it's difficult enough dealing with my own Yetzer Hara, but dealing with other people's Yetzer Haras is absolutely, it's the most difficult thing in the world. Because at least you have a little bit of Rachmanis. You can relate to your Yetzer Hara. But when somebody is like, somebody's got a Yetzer Hara, you're like, why? Like somebody who gambles, like Baruch Hashem, I don't gamble and I don't have any addiction to alcohol. I can hardly drink. I hate drinking. Yeah. So like when I see somebody who's literally giving up their life, their money for gambling, for me it's just like you're absolutely mad. And like a guy who's drinking himself to death, I'm like, that's just crazy. But that's just because I'm not them. If I were them, they would be looking at me thinking, how on earth can you just have one drink and stop? That's unbelievable. I don't understand you at all. So the reason why we have such problems with our spouses' Yetzer Haras and our kids' Yetzer Haras is because there's such a separation between us. And that's the avoider of empathy. Empathy is when we actually become them in a sense. So you're not sympathizing. That's the difference between sympathy and empathy. Sympathy means you're you and you're just kind of, you're a nice guy. So you're like, oh, that's really difficult. Empathy is where you've actually become them. So now you're like seeing it through their eyes. And you know what? I was speaking to a guy yesterday who's he's been in recovery for like 40 years. Yeah, it means he hasn't had a drink for 40 years. He still calls himself an alcoholic. He hasn't drunk for nearly as long as I've been alive, yeah. But anyway, so he said by Chase Taub, by Rabbi Taub, yeah, Rav Chase Taub, that he no one knows if he's actually a recovered alcoholic. The people think he isn't, but he knows it so well that there people are like he said by what was his name by Rabbi Abraham Twersky, yeah, nice one, laser, by Abraham Twersky. We have a demonstration here. If anybody's interested. But by Abraham Twersky, he said he learned it. What was the, there was a special effect, a quote he said, like, he learned it through others. It was a nice way he said it, I can't remember. But he also never went through recovery. He was never an alcoholic. But he was such a big man that he could relate to alcoholics in the way that other alcoholics can relate to alcoholics, even though he was never an alcoholic. That is like Lahavdil, what like that is the avoider of marriage. Not just to simple, not to, well, first things first is to tolerate, yeah? It's not just to tolerate, that's the beginning. Yeah, that's hard enough just to tolerate it. Then there's to sympathize with it. But then there's to empathize with it. And then you can actually help somebody because a lot of the time, these Yetzer Haras that people are involved in, yeah, they hate the Yetzer Hara more than you hate it. They long to be out of it. If you can actually relate to it and get and merge with them on their level, that it's a segula. It's not really, it doesn't really make sense, I don't think, but it's a segula to help somebody get out of it. Maybe it's like you're there with them and they can like hold onto your back and then come out with you or something. I don't know how it works technically, but I do know that if you can really empathize with someone, which means not sympathize, not a separate person having Rachmanis on someone, but actually merging with them and knowing what they're going through, yeah, then that is a massive, that's a segula to actually help schlep them out of what they're going through. So, how do we get there?
Can I ask a question about Bittul Yesh and Bittul Metzias?
Yeah.
So, is it just going back on some other previous Tanya classes? Is a human that's not Jewish? Is that they? Is it? Is this right that they can also do Bittul Yesh?
That's called a human.
Yeah, that's what I meant. A human. That's what I meant. A Bittul. Can they do Bittul Yesh but can't do Bittul Metzias? Only we can do Bittul Metzias? Is that correct?
Maybe. Maybe. I didn't really think about that, but I'm thinking about that now. That sounds like it may. They could definitely attain a serious level of Bitter Yesh, for sure. Bitter Metseus, according to what we just said, they wouldn't have access to that. But what the whole thing we were talking about just before about getting to these Madragas is it's a very natural process, meaning getting to that place where you're serving out of a love of Atsilas, where there isn't a server and the one being served. There's just the one being served. That comes from just playing the game of serving, of seriously serving. That's Avadai Bi'chometz, 100%. That's Avadai. That's also why there's a bittul of the chometz as well, and there's also the destruction of the chometz as well. It's all merames to the same minion. You give up your ba'alus, that's the first level, and then you actually burn it. That's the next level. That's bittul yesh and bittul metseius. But yeah, so the avoider of bittul metseius is the avoider of bittul yesh. There isn't an avoider of bittul metseius. The avoider is the bittul yesh. Just like getting to that level of serving your wife, the real marriage, not the real marriage. Marriage is the minute you're married. But the avoider of other miyada es chava, where you're das your wife, where you merge with each other mamash, where there's a the core is completely united. Yeah. That comes through playing the game of marriage. Seriously. Seriously playing the game of marriage will eventually lead to a place where you and your wife are on an essential level merged. And then buying the flowers for, like we said, would be more an experience of her buying the flowers for herself through your body. So we didn't actually say what I wanted to say today. Well, we'll get there next week. Oh, next week is Pesach. No. Wait, it's Wednesday night. Is Bir Chometz? No, Bir Chometz Thursday night. I think we have a shir next Wednesday. I think there's a shir next Wednesday. Yeah, no, Thursday night will be Bir Chometz, so we won't have a Thursday night. And then it's Chag. Okay, Bezrat Hashem, should be zeicher to bittul yesh and bittul. By the way, just to finish off, just to bring it back to the to Yetzias Mitzrayim, is the first Makkah was Dam, where Hashem dismantled Paro's yesh, where Paro said, "I own the Nile." Hashem said, "Oh yeah, let's see that," and he made the Mitzrayim buy the water. The final Makkah was Makkas Bechorus, because Paro said, "I made myself," meaning I belong to me. And the Rebbeinu Shem says, you belong to me. What's the remez to that? The remez to that is the inyan of the Bechor. Or maybe this answers your question, Yitzi. The inyan of the Bechor, he belongs to me. Am Yisrael is the Bechor. But you should know the way it's meant to work in a family is the Bechor is meant to be the mamutza, the go-between between the other kids and the father, or the parents. The Bechor kind of straddles the line between parent and child.
Is it before the first son or the first born and son?
The firstborn and son. Yeah. So some of the families don't really have a Bechor. But the idea is the firstborn son, and it doesn't work like that Lamaisa, as people with firstborn sons will probably know. But that's the inyan is that the Bechor, the kids have a chiyuv of standing for the Bechor. There's a lot of crossovers between Kibbutz Avaim and the honor you have of the Bechor. But the Bechor is meant to be the firstborn son. So the Bechor is the go-between. Wait, I want to just finish on something amazing. 1 minute. I don't usually do this. I'm going to quote you from a book. 1 minute. A Goethe book. I'll quote you from this book called Autobiography of a Yogi by Paramahansa Yogananda, which I don't recommend reading, just not worth the energy. I thought it was, but then I realized it isn't. Wait, it was right at the end of the book. Yeah. So the way that we understand it is that Yisrael is the Bechor, yeah? Which means all the other nations are the younger brothers or sisters, yeah? So listen to what he says in this book. The wisdom garnered by India, comma, the eldest brother among the nations, is the heritage of all mankind. Vedic truth, as all truth, belongs to the Lord and not to India, whatever. But they hear that, he says, India, the eldest brother among the nations. So it sounds like to me, and from my little knowledge of Hinduism and India, which I have maybe a little bit more than a lot of other people, but it's still quite small, is that you have Yisrael, who's the Bechor, and then the next in line from all the children is India. Here's what he said: the eldest among the eldest. He said the eldest brother amongst the nations. And just it makes a lot of sense that India would be the go-between Yisrael and the rest of the world, according like philosophically or understanding their spiritual. You know, if you have a little understanding of their spiritual kind of, you know, path or whatever, shita, it makes a little bit of sense. But the point is that Am Yisrael is the Bechor. And we belong to Hashem. So Yitzi, like you were saying, that level of Bittul Metzius, I would assume is only available to Yisrael. But the yes, so Hashem said to Paroi, you think you own yourself? No, you don't. And I'll show you why, because I'll take the Bechor. Meaning I own everything. I own everyone. And I just take the Bechor for myself. Dafka, that's Yisrael. And I will take your Bechor as well, because you don't even belong to yourself. So that's the, you know, Bittul Yesh and Bittul Metzius. So next week we'll talk about some other levels of Bittul. Shkoyach.
Oh, yeah.